much about.
Doesn't it look like I am ready? I am always ready. I have been ready since first call. I am ready. Roll.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Well, I woke up to go get me a cold pop. Then I thought somebody was barbecuing. I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Then I ran out. I didn't grab no shoes or nothing, Jesus. I ran for my life. And then the smoke got me. I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Where are the white women at?
Kevin and Bean, calling from the beautiful island of Oahu, Hawaii. Just wanted to wish the morning show a big aloha.
Aloha! With doo-doo on it.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know it. I love those black folks.
Roll another one.
Good morning. Can you make it through Friday?
Just like the other one.
He does have a warm, attractive voice, doesn't
this
he?
This one seems to be about to quit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Swing and a miss.
Roll. Roll another one.
Britney Spears. What about her?
Just like the other one.
Why can't people marry dogs?
This one seems to be about.
Really?
I don't have another cent.
Now, are you a baseball fan at all? All right, so how do you think the Dodgers are going to do in the World Series?
What is up with Whitey?
Just pass it around.
This is for all the Tostitos.
And now.
Anyway, a little bit later on this morning, a live performance from K-Rock and from Paramore.
Yeah.
Coming
Paramore's
up.
The name of the band. They'll be doing the live performance.
Coming up on the
you need to lay down.
Hey, you know what's fun? Alcohol.
Our feature presentation.
Who does a guy have to blow around here?
Oh, no, it's not that. It's what you insisted somebody do for you to get one.
Oh. This is getting too restrictive.
You've
I'm
been
not happy with this.
15 seconds.
Hey, how's Coachella?
Fantastic.
Not as much music so far as you might have expected.
Well, there are less performances, although we did see the Black Keys, and they were sound checking the whole time we were there. That was pretty cool.
Wow.
We kept getting closer and closer to the stage with our camera, and we were like, they're going to kick us out at some point, but this is pretty cool.
How'd they sound? Those guys are incredible.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
They are amazing.
What's the Coachella, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, it is Friday. What is the Coachella house like this year?
Oh, it's like a giant ranch and there's horses. We might send Dave out to ride some horses later.
Nice.
And there's like four different houses on the property. I don't know, it's the weirdest place I've ever seen.
It's a compound.
Yeah, it is a compound, yeah.
If you
We're going to start a cult here, I think.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Get everybody in robes. Start issuing robes when they show
right.
up.
Only robes.
If you had a super nice place out there in India, and I understand that the temptation is, hey, I can make a ton of money over, I'll just go on vacation for a couple weeks, rent out my house, and make tens of thousands of dollars. But would you rent it to K-Rock?
God, no.
Never, right?
No, that's the worst idea. And then if they said, we're going to invite listeners, too. I go, no, you're not.
There's no way. It's a terrible choice. That place is going to be burned to the ground before the end of next weekend. Come on.
Unfortunately, it is.
Well, I'm very excited to hear about all the things that are going on. I know you you made your annual trek out to where people were camping and all set for the weekend's festivities.
I got to tell you, you know how you think Dave said as we were walking over, I would never camp out here. And I said, yeah, I hear you. But I think if you knew that was the only way you could come to Coachella and you were coming from out of town or whatever, mm-hmm. you'd sort of get into the spirit of it. These people were having a great time.
I'm sure they do, and the festival's been around long enough now that I'm sure it's, you know, it's reunion week for people. You know, they make friends and, hey, see you next year kind of deal. I bet it gets better every time you come back, probably.
Want a game of beer pong, tell you that right now.
Me, I think I insist on a bed and a shower and internet. I don't think I'm the camping outside guy.
No, you need the TV.
I don't think.
And you need the computer.
The TV, right. Yeah. Hey, here's a great inspirational story today. Well, depending on what kind of person you are, if you're an optimistic person, I think this is going to be a very inspirational story. If you are not, then this will be pessimistic and make you feel even worse about your life than you do already. And Beer Mug, this is especially for you. I want you to perk up your little ears here because you're a perfect example of where this guy was in 2008. Ian Usher is his name, an Australian guy who decided to start over. He basically auctioned his entire life, every single possession he had on eBay. And he was just unhappy with his life. His marriage just broken up. And I think about a guy like Beer Mug. Let's face it. His best years are behind him. Right, Kevin?
Yeah. He's got like three things, too. So he's not going to get much for his eBay auction.
Right. But I mean, a guy like Muggs, he's never going to look as good as he used to 5 years ago.
He's looking in the rearview mirror for the rest of his life.
Absolutely.
That's true.
His looks are already gone. There's no way his girlfriend's not cheating on him. He's in a dead-end career. There's no doubt he's not going to make it in broadcasting. So however long he waits to transfer to a new career, I mean, he's going to be way behind the curve. So, I mean, he's got very little to be happy
about.
Wow,
talk about pessimism, you guys.
No, hey, these are the facts. I haven't even gotten to the pessimism part yet. I'm just giving you the facts right now. I'm just laying it out for you.
This is the optimism part so far.
he'll never be a pound thinner than he is right now. We've established that. Right. So here's Ian Usher in Australia, and he says, I'm out of here. Like I said, his marriage just broke up. He was in a dead-end job. So he sold everything, his house, all of its possessions, his boat, his motorcycle. He walked out the door with a passport in one hand and $305,000 in the other hand.
Wow.
Got a backpack, jumped on a train, had no idea where he was going to go, did some thinking about it, and came up with a bucket list of 100 goals that he was going to try to accomplish in 100 weeks. Okay?
I can see where this is going.
Where is it going?
I think. Day.
He's run with the bulls already. Dived with great white sharks.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Taught himself to fly. He joined the Mile High Club.
At what point does this relate to Beer Mug, though?
I'm just saying, but that's why I said you could either be optimistic or pessimistic. You can see this guy did, and Beer Mug is at the same point this guy was when he made the decision. Let's see how it goes for Mugs compared to what this guy did, right?
Mugs would have a passport, $305,000, and drink it.
He's traveled to dozens of countries around the world. He's accomplished 93 of the 100 goals that he set for himself in that first couple of weeks. He's learned French. He's been to Mount Everest. He played a bit role in a Hollywood movie. And just before his money ran out, he used the last $50,000 of it to buy an idyllic 2.2-acre island complete with a lush rainforest and golden sandy beach off the coast of Panama.
Wow.
He's building himself a home there. On the way, while dog sledding in Canada, he met a woman who is now his wife. The happiest he has ever been. He has recently published a book about his adventures, and he has been approached by Disney, who has optioned his life story for a movie deal.
Let's not talk about Beer Mug. Let's talk about me. I would never end up that good with a passport and $300,000.
Yeah, it does sound like he managed to turn it into something and has had the greatest life anyone's ever lived since then, doesn't
it? Wow.
Isn't it insane all the stuff that he's done, though?
I mean, A-hole.
If I had this list of 100 things, I might accomplish 5 in the rest of the years I have left. This guy did them all in like 100 weeks. So,
and
anyways,
you cram in the last 4 the week before you died.
Right. His name is Ian Usher, if you're curious about the story, as I was. And you can go to Amazon or wherever and get the book. And I don't know. I just think it's fascinating. So, Mugs, that's just a little something to make you feel even worse about whatever's next for you.
Hey, I lost 10 pounds, you guys.
Yeah. So we were visiting Tent City. I just want to tell this story real quick. And the number two question that people asked me was, where's Beer Mug? And then they would follow that up with, tell him to shut up. So it'd be, where's Bean? And I go, you know where Bean is. He's at home. And then they go, where's Beer Mug? Tell him to shut up. So
that coming from the Tent City people?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Beer Mug, that's coming from every people, okay? It's just in the air. It's just a thing that Americans believe now.
Okay. Some of them weren't even from California. They were just like, Beer Mug sounds shaky to us. Let's tell them to shut up as well. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That's the way it is. Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Franz Kranz.
He's going to be on the show today.
He is the star of Cabin in the Woods, which looks scary as hell.
Terrifying.
I can't wait. Dave and I are going to go.
Oh,
Dave's so scared. He hates scary movies.
Yeah, he won't do scary movies.
We also have Doug Tarola, who is the director of a movie called All In, which is about the all of the poker websites that got shut down and why there are millions of people weeping now. Just weeping. They have nothing else to do but weep.
Well, I'm just glad the government set its priorities on what's important, which is to stop people from playing online poker.
Right, right. Adults that want to spend their money that way. Movie Beat, it's Friday.
Fantastic.
We will also talk to Matt Money Smith about the Dodgers and the Angels and the Lakers and the Clippers and the Kings. I don't know. What else? What else is going on?
That's a lot.
Golf, maybe we'll get to. Samageddon, we should tell Bean today. That's what we should do today, Dave.
What?
We've got
tell
news
Bean
for
what?
You. Can you turn Dave's mic on? We're going to tell Bean the update on Samageddon.
I spoke with Sam yesterday on my drive to Coachella.
After the show.
Yeah.
And we're not going to give you
after Kevin spoke with him.
We're not going to give you any hints, but he was really excited to talk to me. And then Dave called him, and all of a sudden, everything changed. And I can't wait to tell you.
It got kind of frosty, did it?
I can't wait to tell you the list of demands that we have to meet before he comes back.
How can there be demands?
That was my question.
How is he not just grateful that we still remember who he is or that we haven't extended the restraining order?
That was my question. But there
oh
are
my
demands,
God.
And the demands are absurd. So I can't wait for you to hear about
so he
that.
Has spent 2 years thinking about what he could, what we can do for him, basically.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
After threatening our lives and then threatening to blow up the building and getting a restraining order for 2 years, we have to make it up to him.
Well, I that's just all right.
I'm
I can't wait to hear about it.
I'm suggesting to you it may not happen Monday.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm suggesting to
you. I was
you.
So excited, too.
I can't wait to tell you. You're going to be so more excited. And we're going to take your calls on lame superhero villains because we've been talking about the calculator. What a lame... What up? That's great. Calendar Man.
Kite Man.
Kite
Calendar Man.
It's ridiculous. So we'll take your calls on that as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Ralph Garman. What's going on, man?
The opening music of the Olympics will be recorded.
Well, that's lame to have. But they can't get an orchestra in a country like England to open the Olympics. It's pre-recorded music. They're just going to put on a mixtape. Come on.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do. They're going to plug in the Queen's iPod, and they're just going to play her list of songs.
That doesn't strike you guys as anticlimactic. Don't you want to see an orchestra out there playing Olympic themes? Come on.
I can handle this one, Ralph. It's April, and
right.
We don't care.
Well, the news just came out, though. It's just announced as people are starting to gear up.
I'm
going to
stand with we don't care.
You really don't care. Okay.
Yeah,
really.
It strikes me as not worth mentioning. That's what it strikes me as.
I think it's shameful, and I think you know that during your report, I'm going to start composing a strongly worded letter, Ralph.
Of course you will.
That'll help.
You know, I heard that Daniel Craig, though, is going to sky jump into the facility.
Is that
really?
True?
He's going to parachute into the facility.
That's pretty cool.
If that's true, that would be awesome.
They are developing a James Bond movie that will be played for the TV audiences and for the people in the arena before the ceremonies. It's him going to meet the Queen to get his mission and stuff, and it ends with him skydiving into the facility. And apparently Daniel Craig will... It'll go to live action, and he will skydive into the facility.
Oh, that'll be so awesome.
As James Bond.
That'll be so awesome when he goes off course and lands in the crowd.
And dies.
Picks out about eight people.
That would be kind of a downer start to the
See, you don't need live music when you have James Bond parachuting into your arena.
That does
well,
top it.
I'm just saying, it just decreases the spectacle of the opening ceremony. That's all. Why don't they not have the athletes come out and do the, you know, the parade of flags or whatever it is? Well, they just have holograms do that. That way they can pre-record that as well.
Wow, you care a lot about this.
They should put you in the Olympic flame. I think that's how it should start this year.
We talked to Mike Tyson at the end of yesterday's show about his program opening up in Las Vegas. His one-man show in Las Vegas tonight it opens. And we'll give you some highlights of that coming up in about 10 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The real Mike Tyson. First time for
with
the show this week on a Friday.
Fantasriculous.
If you live in China, to all our listeners in China, you may want to skip the 3D version of Titanic.
What'd they take out?
Censors there have cut the scene out where Kate Winslet shows off her girls.
Well, what's
shows
the
off
point
the boobies.
Of the Titanic if that's
That's
not
what
there.
I'm saying. Here's my favorite part of the story, although according to the San Francisco Chronicle, censors there apparently decided to cut the scenes out of Titanic 3D because, and I quote, they were worried people would want to reach out for a touch and interrupt the movie experience of the other guests.
Wow.
How dumb are the Chinese?
That's not as dumb as
people are assuming them to be.
That's what they need to answer. Do they really think that people are going to start reaching out for her boobs and interrupt the experience of other moviegoers?
That's fantastic.
Guy behind you starts grabbing your head and squeezing it because he thinks it's Kate Winslet's boob.
If that's going to happen, you don't tell anyone else that that's going to happen in your country.
It's not going to happen. No, that's the first thing.
I know.
So China, relax. That would never, ever happen. This isn't some aboriginal tribe that they're showing a movie to for the first time. Oh, those people are moving inside
what
that screen.
Why are those people there?
Oh, good God.
Ralph, how is, we always talk about how porn leads the way in almost all technology breakthroughs. How's the 3D porn industry going?
It's been around for a while.
Is it a thing, though? Is it people
excited
about
it? It is a thing, but it's not very conducive, porn and 3D glasses and... And
it kind of takes
extra equipment and stuff and everything. It's not very user friendly yet.
Yeah.
Plus, it depends on the porn star. You don't want to see too many of them in 3D.
Yeah. And certainly the fellas you don't want to see in 3D.
That's what I'm saying.
It could be very intimidating. They need the glassless 3D.
I hear you.
That's got to come around soon, one of these days. Kris Jenner could not be happier that her daughter, porn star Kim Kardashian, is hot and heavy with Kanye West. She's telling friends that she thinks it'll be great for Kim's career. And puts her in a whole new stratosphere, Kris Jenner says. That is what's important. I hope Kanye murders Kim Kardashian so that Kris can say, she's in the news. It's great. Let's find some way to stuff her and put her on a mall tour. F Kris Kardashian.
I hear that.
Scarlett Johansson talking about her divorce now for the first time from Ryan Reynolds back in late 2010. She really hasn't mentioned it and talked to the press about it since it happened. She said it was devastating. Ryan Reynolds hurt her.
Uh-oh.
But she said the divorce was comically amicable, which is not easy to say.
No.
It's the loneliest thing you'll ever do, get a divorce, says Scarlett Johansson. But she's back, and she's got faith in love again, and she's spending a lot of quality time with an ad executive named Nate Taylor. So she has found love. And I'm glad to see that. And Britney Spears and Kevin Federline's kids... This is going to come as a shock to you. Apparently, are just little out of control terrors.
Oh, can you imagine with them as parents?
I am shocked.
Can you imagine?
Given the stable home life they must have, both with Brittany and Kevin, that they aren't well behaved little angels.
You cut all your hair off. Where did you get that idea? You, Mom. Oh.
6-year-old Sean and 5-year-old Jaden apparently regularly get into her makeup. And proceed to rub it all over the walls. I'm surprised that's not all they rub all over the walls. They apparently have figured out how to use Britney's childproof lighters.
Oh, good.
Jaden was found smoking a cigarette. 5-year-old Jaden was found smoking a cigarette. And apparently they both have one time or another tried to start a fire in the house with the lighter.
That's funny.
It gets better. Friends say Federline blames the issue squarely on Brittany, his ex-wife, saying that she is without discipline in that household, despite the fact that the little guys also pretend to be drunk like dear old dad, say friends. So apparently they're getting it from both sides.
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
He is simple, and now the kids are too. And lastly, CBS is doing a new reality show they just announced. Very exciting. Dogs in the City, it's called.
No.
Dogs in the City.
No.
It will feature a New York City dog trainer named Justin Silver as he tries to solve problems between dogs and their owners.
Bad idea.
Episode 1, a woman wants to move in with her boyfriend, but the boyfriend is scared of her golden retriever.
Well, don't move in with him.
That is a show.
What a worse.
Terrible idea.
That's going to be a program. CBS, you're making us proud.
CBS is doing that, not TLC.
No, that's a network show.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Paul Sorvino is 73 years old today. Musician Al Green, the Reverend, he is 66. Ron Perlman from Sons of Anarchy is 62 years old today. Bean singer Peebo Bryson celebrates his 61st birthday today.
Only Bean cares.
Only Bean cares. Drummer Max Weinberg of the E Street Band and Late Night with Conan O'Brien is 61. Paige Hanna from TV's Fame is 48 years old. Comedian and actress Carolyn Rea is 48. Lisa Umbarger of the Toadies is 47. Rick Schroeder
My buddy from NYPD Blue celebrates his 42nd birthday today.
Did you just mention somebody from the Toadies?
I did. I like Lisa Umberger. You don't meet a lot of female bassists in rock and roll.
Right, but for the Toadies?
Aaron Lewis of Staind is 40 years old today. And singer Lou Vega, remember him? Monica, little Monica in my heart.
Oh, yeah, the Mambo Number
Mambo
Five.
Mambo Number Five. Oh, we're going to have to pull up a little bit of that. That
I'd rather
is,
not.
That's a Friday song for you right there.
That'll get stuck in your head all day.
A little bit of Monica in my life.
Oh, God, I love that song.
He's 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 6:23.
Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin is live at the K-Rock Coachella House 2012. Boy, a lot of great artists stopping by. Kat is going to have M83 on the program today. Samian is coming on by. Stryker's got Arctic Monkeys on the show today. Band of Skulls, Dan from the Black Keys is going to be there. Nobody all that excited about stopping by to see you this morning during the show, though, Kevin, it seems like.
Yeah, they all said, what time? Yeah, no.
Nobody come see me on my party bus. They all come see me then on the Snow Gold Show.
So you know what's funny? You know what's funny, though, Bean, is that this house is literally unfindable. All of
How
the Google maps,
it?
All the Google maps, all my phone, nothing.
Wow.
They take us about 5 miles from here, so there won't be any listeners. All you listeners that want access to the house, good luck.
Yeah, but it's Kevin. Cover here. It's Kevin having a hard time finding something.
How
you know what I'm saying?
Dare you?
Well, keep it on K-Rock all weekend long if you're not lucky enough to be at Coachella, and they'll keep you posted there and also online at krock.com. It's Friday. As mentioned, Ralph is here. That means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I gotta say, Lisa's away on vacation, Bean's on an island, Kevin's in the desert. I kind of like this new Kevin and Bean show. I don't know.
This is perfect for you.
If I can just get Mugs under the sea somehow, if I can get him in the bottom of the ocean, then it'd be the perfect work experience for me.
Mugs could take a dirt nap. We'd all be happy.
I'm sitting right here, you guys.
What?
We know. That's why we're saying it. Let's take a look at the movies that are opening up this weekend in Southland Cineplexes. Nothing, in my opinion, that is going to challenge The Hunger Games for the top one spot at the box office this weekend, but some interesting films nonetheless, including Lockout. Lockout is a science fiction thriller starring Guy Pearce, and as far as I can remember, his first sort of big-time action movie role. Maggie Grace, who's always lovely and talented, also stars in the film. It's about a man who's wrongly convicted of conspiracy to commit espionage against the U.S., played by Guy Pearce, who was offered his freedom if he can rescue the president's daughter, Maggie Grace, from an outer space prison taken over by violent inmates.
It's a true life story?
It is. It's based on a true story. It's basically Escape from New York in space.
Well, that sounds dumb.
Criminal is released if he can rescue the president's daughter from the outer space prison. Why is that dumb? It sounds awesome. Go to an outer space prison with violent prisoners, mow them down, and escape from space prison.
It just sounds like they put a bunch of ideas in a blender and just kind of came up with them and went, yeah, okay, outer space, good. Prison, good.
I like it.
President's daughter, good.
Sorry. Here's a scene from Lockout where Maggie Grace, the president's daughter, is asking her rescuer, who sent you?
Who sent you?
Your old man did.
My dad. What did he say?
Well, I didn't get to meet him personally. He kind of delegated your rescue. He had a big conference on the corn surplus.
You kidding me?
No. Apparently we should all be eating more corn.
About my father.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I made that other bit up.
Did he have a message for me?
Yes, you are adopted.
Are you the only type of jerk they found for this kind of mission?
The only one stupid enough to say yes.
Yeah! Go get him!
That sounds terrible.
Come on! Lockout! Space prison!
Like sounds like a first draft of maybe the script.
Space prison!
Is the calculator involved?
You guys don't know. Also opening up this weekend, The Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
Director Drew Goddard, brought to you by the creative mind of Joss Whedon. Chris Hemsworth is in this film, along with Bradley Whitford. Five friends go for a break at a remote cabin in the woods, where they get more than they bargained for. They get the monster in the cabin in the woods. Here's a scene.
What is that thing?
We're gonna lock this place down.
He's right.
We'll go room by room, barricade every window and door. We gotta play it safe. No matter what happens, we have to stay together. This isn't right.
What? What's the matter?
This isn't right. We should split up. Maybe we can cover more ground that way.
Yeah.
Really?
No, not really. It's the cabin in the woods. It's effing with your mind. The cabin in the woods.
Don't split up.
And lastly, the Three Stooges also opens up this weekend. Farrelly Brothers bring you the Three Stooges.
You don't sound excited about this, Ralph.
I thought you would be, Ralph.
Really?
Well, just...
A remake of one of the great screen comedy teams of all time, done with lesser performers, doing impressions of them poorly?
Yeah.
That sounds like something I'd be excited by?
I thought in concept you'd be excited about it, but it does look like a cheap ripoff.
Yeah. It's Sean Hayes... and two other guys pretending to be the Three Stooges in a movie where they apparently are trying to save their childhood orphanage, Blues Brothers, and inadvertently stumble into a murder plot and wind up starring in a reality TV show.
In space.
In space. Jane Lynch, Jennifer Hudson, Sofia Vergara are all stunt casted in this film as well. Here's a hilarious scene where Curly tries to eat a lobster, and he's having a hard time because he's Curly.
What are you grubworms doing?
Hitting seconds on lobster.
Seconds? Mm-hmm. I thought lobster upset your stomach.
I dipped it in Pesto Bismol.
Oh, you like dipping, eh?
Come here.
Look, it's Sandy Claus. Claus.
What did I tell you about puns?
See, the lobster goes down Larry's pants and apparently clamps down on his testicles.
It's not possible that this is just dumb enough to be fun.
You enjoy it, Bean. I will feel free. You go. Let me know how it works out for
there
you.
There is an Oscar in the future for the sound effect guy, though, right?
I hope so. Yes, exactly. Three Stooges in theaters everywhere this weekend. Hunger Games. I think you're safe. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Bean, I think that needs to be Beer Mug, somebody that we used to know.
Come on. Oh, that would be so great, wouldn't it?
Are you with me?
Come on. It's going to be a happy day when I can barely remember his face. Hey, party people, welcome in into the Kevin and Bean Show for a Friday. Here's a question for you, Kevin. What is your level of interest in seeing Arnold Schwarzenegger ever in another movie again?
Do you miss him? No, not
really?
At all. He's terrible actor.
He is a terrible actor, and now he's like 70. But right. He is, you know, he's not the governor anymore. He's got plenty of time, and apparently there is still an audience out there for him. He was in the first Expendables movie, right?
Yeah, he did. He had a cameo.
Yeah, well, he has filmed the sequel to that. That's one that's coming down the pike. But he's talking about all sorts of other movies. In fact, they asked him recently what franchise he would like to return to, and he said, "I'm open to all those things. If it's True Lies, Terminator, a well-made Terminator, well, the last one was awful. It tried hard, not that they didn't try, the acting and everything. It missed the boat." So he's ragging on the Terminator with – wasn't that Christian Bale was in that one?
Yeah, I think so.
He's ragging on that one saying
that
he –
And it was way better than the one he was in.
It's saying that he wants to do another Terminator movie. So we wanted to find out what's going on with the former governor of the great state of California, and I believe we have our friend Arnold Schwarzenegger on the phone with us right now to see what's up. Hey, Arnold, what's up, man?
221. 222. 223.
Arnold?
223. Yeah. Yeah. What kind of exercise are you doing in the gym right now?
Nothing. I'm looking at my cholesterol. I need to get it down.
Yeah, step away from the weight room. Listen, what's this deal where you're ragging on Terminator? That's very
that
bad
awful.
Movie for
That movie
for
was so awful.
But it was Christian Bale.
Awful. Yeah, but Sam Worthington.
And Sam Worthington, great actors.
I'm a robot. No one was scared of that Terminator. My Terminator was scary. I'll be back. And then it was like, scary. I'm scared of the Terminator. Then the Terminator was sweet Terminator, nice Terminator. Come with me if you want to live. And I kept him alive. And then it was amazing. It was the greatest films ever. And that is new Terminator. Christian Bale. No one liked that one. It was awful. Mine are the best.
Arnold, you might be remembering yours a little bit better than it was.
Greatest films in science fiction history.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, they were classics. They had their place. But it wasn't because you're an outstanding actor. You understand
it? I brought humanity to the machine, and that's how everyone looked at it and said, "Oh, I can see the soul of the machine inside there."
Nope.
Yeah.
But at 70 or whatever you are now, are you really the guy that ought to be thinking about doing another Terminator
movie? Yeah, I can still be the Terminator. I mean, I'm a Terminator with enlarged prostate. I need new parts. Oh, no, I just leaked some oil. Oh, I need Depends. Put Depends on me.
Why
like
is
it? Like an older Terminator.
I see. Yes, understood. Yes. Why is everything you're talking about doing a sequel, though? You did the Expendable sequel. You're talking about Terminator. Now we understand that there's some interest in bringing a sequel to Twins to theaters called Triplets.
Triplets.
And you want to do that, too?
Triplets is good. We are doing it. It's not even a question anymore. It's happening. Danny DeVito and I are returning to our roles as the twins. Only this time we find out we have another brother.
Really? I mean,
Triplets!
Oh, what a terrible idea.
Yeah, and the triplets played by, wait for this, Eddie Murphy!
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's black!
Yeah, we know.
We know who Eddie
Murphy
is.
You don't get it, he's a triplet, but he's black, so you're one giant, handsome fella, that's
right.
Me. You have one tiny troll-file fella,
right.
DeVito.
We got
and
it.
And then there's a black brother.
Right.
Ah!
But do people
that'll
come
be
up
so funny for 2 hours, you'll be laughing every time on the screen. They'll say, look at those two white guys, and that's their black brother. How can that possibly be? That's crazy.
But no one has come up to you in the last 25 years and said, hey, Twins was great. Can you do a sequel,
that's
right?
That's not true. Danny DeVito said it all the time.
Oh, just Danny?
He'd come up and say, that was great. Can we do a sequel? And I'd say, I'm busy destroying the state of California. But now I'm not busy doing that, so I can destroy now another movie.
Are you finished destroying California?
Well, yes. I'm not even in the position to destroy anymore.
Not right.
When I use the bathroom in the state capitol.
Yeah, that's right. How about your housekeepers? Are you destroying any of those anymore?
No comment.
By the way, this might be a good time to mention that we have the brand new Linkin Park song on Monday morning, and we're going to talk to Mike Shinoda. 6 a.m., brand new Linkin Park song, talk to Mike Shinoda.
Wow. Sweet.
Is he the rapist up in Linkin Park, or is that another one of the guys in the band?
There's no...
That was a whole story.
We're talking to actor Fran Kranz, who, by the way, Ralph, I didn't realize he's, of course, one of the stars of this Cabin in the Woods movie. He is currently appearing on Broadway in Death of a Salesman. You think Kevin might like to go out there and see that production?
No, Kevin usually sleeps through Death of a Salesman. I found when I take him to see Death of a Salesman, it's usually nappy time for
what
Kevin.
If I could use a nap?
Then you should stay the F home.
Okay.
That seemed like an expensive way to get time for a nap, I'll tell you that. Anyway, this Cabin in the Woods, everybody's talking about. I'm excited to talk to Mr. Kranz coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday. What's happening?
I heard Franz Kranz is also going to play the calendar man in the new big budget version of Calendar Man.
There's no big budget version
there is.
Of Calendar
There's
Man.
Calendar Man.
Nope.
You should look forward to seeing that. Okay. Courtney Love needs to be stopped. She needs to be, well, I would say put down. But other people would say just stopped. This story's disgusting.
Now what?
Went on one of her Twitter rants. This time she's claiming that Dave Grohl hit on her teenage daughter, Frances.
Oh, come on.
And how many people believe that?
Well, no one. But still, it's out there and it becomes a story. And it's just foul on every level.
You can't say things like that about people and... I mean, he could sue her for that, right?
He should sue her.
If it didn't happen.
And it didn't. Frances released a statement. She said, while generally I'm silent on the affairs of my biological mother, her recent tirade has taken a gross turn. I have never been approached by Dave Grohl in anything more than a platonic way. I'm in a monogamous relationship and very happy. Twitter should ban my mother, she added.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Courtney then tweeted, I'm not mad at Francis, but him I'm about to shoot dead, she said, regarding this fantasy that she invented in her head.
She's crazy.
And then Dave had to release a statement saying, unfortunately, Courtney is on another hateful Twitter rant. These new accusations are upsetting, offensive, and absolutely untrue. So, look, there's a reason why Francis, when she was 17 years old, was able to get a court order to get away from her mother at the time, and she moved in with her grandmother. So there's no doubt that this is all manufactured in Courtney's head, but I can't understand why she feels obligated to do this kind of stuff.
I don't know. What does she think she's going to gain from this?
I don't know. She's always talking about wanting a better relationship with her daughter, and yet she still stirs the pot with this stuff. So sad news. Justin Bieber apparently is jealous of James Franco.
What?
His girlfriend Selena Gomez is working on a movie with James Franco called Spring Breakers. And she and all of her female co-stars have mad crushes apparently on James Franco, so Justin's been hanging around the set a lot lately, hanging out with Selena. Saying, "Hey, come on, you're not interested in him. Look at me, I'm manly over here, eh?"
Is he saying eh?
Yeah, that's what he's saying, because he's Canadian. Miley Cyrus is craving attention. Reportedly, she gave a lap dance to Chris Evans the other night.
Her boyfriend is Liam Hemsworth. Please make this end.
Yeah. And she has been allowing herself to be captured by the paparazzi in various states of undress as well. And they say she's just desperate for attention these days. There's an upskirt photo of her getting out of her car, and we saw that this week that came out. Also another one of her trying on clothes in a clothing store. She's wearing a concert tee that's cut on the sides down to her waist. So you can see your total side boob when she's trying stuff on. So people say it's all calculated by Miley to get as much attention as she can get.
It's working.
It is working. And this is interesting. This next film, they're talking about this movie based on the White House butler. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
Sounds like Kevin's nightmare. But I would love. No. The story is about Eugene Allen, who was the White House butler from 1952 to 1986, served all of the presidents in the White House during that period of time.
Fascinating.
They're doing a biography about his life. Forrest Whitaker will play the butler, and Oprah Winfrey will play his wife.
Wow.
Jane Fonda, it's been announced, will play Nancy Reagan in the film. They will have a number of well-known actors doing cameos as former presidents and first ladies, all that Eugene Allen worked for. He served 8 presidents while working at the White House.
This sounds interesting.
It does sound interesting.
I love behind-the-scenes stuff at the White House. I think that's cool.
It's being directed by Lee Daniels, who did Precious and produced Monsters Ball. So he's got a great pedigree. And by all accounts, they're saying this is going to be a very interesting film. So, but the story, of course, the reason it broke today is because this is Oprah Winfrey's return to film. She hasn't done a movie since Beloved in 1998, so she's acting again, and people are excited.
I'm so fat.
Which president was it, Ruff, that the daughter was kidnapped and sent to space prison, and then Guy Pearce had to go up and bring her back?
Do you remember? Fillmore.
Was it Fillmore?
Yeah, it was Fillmore, yeah.
I wonder what the butler, what his response was during all that.
I think they sent him. I think he was the one who got her out.
Oh, well, yeah. Great story.
He buttled the spaceship that went up to space prison. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Paul Sorvino is 73 years old. Musician Al Green turned 66. Ron Perlman of Sons of Anarchy is 62. Let me see here. I got some names I got to skip over.
Really? No Toadies basis this hour?
No Toadies basis. Oh, here we go. Joey Mazzola, guitarist for Sponge, is 51 years old.
Yes!
Today. Rick Schroeder's 42. Aaron Lewis of Stained is 40 years old. And Lou Bega! That's a remake of a song from the 40s.
That's going to be in my head all day now, Ralph.
Good.
Thank you.
That's
pretty damn catchy.
Catchy too, and I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Talking to Dr. Fran Kranz in a minute here from Cabin in the Woods, the new horrifying thriller that opens up today. But first, though, Kevin, since you're at the Kara Coachella house, do you have any tips for people who may be coming out to join you this weekend in the desert?
Well, the thing about a 3-day festival is that you have to plan your bathroom breaks accordingly. And so now we're going to play for you.
I thought that was an adequate setup, too.
Me, too. A PSA.
The Coachella Valley Board of Tourism presents another in an ongoing series, How to Survive the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. Chapter 31, Bowels and Bladders. Going to the bathroom can be half the adventure while attending Coachella. Okay, 3/4 of the adventure. Maybe 91% of the adventure. Lines at the porta-potties can be quite long. In fact, last year, the end of one porta-potty line was actually discovered to be in the small seaside town of Pennsauken, New Jersey. So, get in line early. Actually, get in line before you have to go. Get in line now, or glue your poopy hole shut.
Oh!
Enjoy the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival. And as we say here at the Board of Tourism, try not to die.
I think that's excellent advice.
It's only one option. That's a final option, is the glue thing.
Do you try to plan your weekend out, Kevin, so that you make sure you don't have to poop from Friday to Monday, pretty much? Is that what you do?
No, I have secret bathrooms that I know where they are.
Yeah, called
the
woods.
That's the key. And then I destroy.
More from the K-Rock Coachella house all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, if you're not at Coachella and you got time to go to the movies, there is no better choice than Cabin in the Woods, which is a movie we've been hearing about for a long time, and it is finally here today. Fran Kranz on the phone with us, one of the stars of the show. Hey, Fran, how are you, man?
Hey, man. How's it going? How you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
We're doing great, and we're so excited. This is one of those stories that we've been hearing about for a long time, and it's finally here. Now, what's the deal? Because usually when movies are made and then shelved, it's bad news. But this apparently is a story where it had nothing to do with the quality of the film. It was just a business thing, right?
Yeah, this was a lot of Hollywood legal stuff. This was studio bankruptcy, all kinds of stuff. But I like to think of it as just that the movie's been, you know, marinating and awesome for 3 years. You know, so, it's an amazing movie, I'm telling you.
So
you
it's actually
seen it or had the chance?
No, unfortunately, I haven't had the chance, but it is my kind of movie.
No, it's great, man. It's really, it's scary, it's bloody, but it's hilarious. You know what I mean? It's definitely all over the place. So I have never seen anything like it. It's pretty awesome.
And this Joss Whedon, your buddy Joss, that you've worked with, you know, on Dollhouse and other things. I mean, he's just a genius. He's the kind of guy that takes a story that you think has been told 100 times before and manages to do something entirely fresh with it, right?
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of him. He really has his original stamp that he puts on, you know, kind of everything he approaches. You know, I just did a Shakespeare movie with him. We did Much Ado About Nothing, and he has his own spin on that. And I think that's why he has such loyal fans, but he's also got such loyal employees. You know what I mean? As an artist or actor or whatever, you want to be a part of something original. You know what I mean? Something new that pushes the envelope and that people get excited about and get behind. You know, and you're almost guaranteed to get that out of him. You know, so yeah, that's why. And same with Drew Goddard, the director who wrote the movie Cloverfield and worked on Lost. You know, the two guys think alike. You know, they're original minds, and that's awesome. You know,
now a lot of people are saying who have been lucky enough at, was it South by Southwest? That's where they showed Cabin the first time to the public, right?
Oh, man, and I missed it. I'm doing a play on Broadway. That's why I'm missing Coachella, too, man.
Oh.
I know. It's sad. It kills me. Yeah, it was at South by Southwest, and I heard it was like a rock concert. That's what I keep saying. It was just nuts. Yeah.
And this is one of those movies, though, that people are coming out of, and they're going, I can't explain it to you. It's not what you think it is. I know you see the trailer, and you go, okay, I've seen that movie before, but believe me when I tell you, it's not, but I can't give anything away, which is so intriguing yet also frustrating when you're trying to get a handle on it.
I'm sure it is. But, you know, there's so many twists. It's not just one little twist or secret. You know what I mean? Like, I can't just tell you Kevin Spacey. Sees Kaiser Soze, you know what I mean? And hopefully I'm just going to ruin that for people. Yeah,
hey, right. Spoiler alert, dude.
That was terrible. I take that back. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of layers to this movie. I think it's got a lot of good defense system against spoilers, but it really is unlike anything you've ever seen. I mean, it is the simple setup of the cabin in the woods and the kids and bad things happen, but it's like a lot of bad things to a lot of people, and that cabin has a very deep basement. It's very surprising. I can't say it enough. It's totally original. Never
I gotta
seen
tell you,
like it.
As a fan of scary movies, I'm really happy to hear that, because usually you see the trailer and then you go, okay, I got a handle on this, and then you go see the movie, and for the most part, scary movies are a little less than their trailers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's sort of where this movie came from. I think that was why Joss and Drew did it. I think they were frustrated with the way movies have been going. I mean, I love the first Saw, but then the franchise sort of just became boring, you know?
And right.
I actually liked Hostel, but a lot of people, I mean, that's where this sort of torture porn idea comes from. And this is really an homage and a tribute to the old kind of classic, like the Friday the 13th and the Evil Dead, that were scary but kind of out there and intelligent and just a little bizarre, you know? It mixes all those kind of wonderful elements that I think people, you know, get entertained in the theater for, and ultimately just more have fun more than, you know, are grossed out. You know what I mean? That's what's great about it.
This is actor Fran Kranz on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the Cabin in the Woods film that opens up everywhere today. As an actor, when you're making a movie like this, usually you have to go through some stuff. You're either face down in the dirt, or you're covered in fake blood, or you got snakes on you. What kind of stuff? Is there anything you can tell us that you kind of had to go through that might have been tough for you to film?
Well, you know what's bizarre? I mean, I play the stoner of the group. You know, I'm like the slacker stoner guy. And
fantastic.
So when we got up and did the rehearsal, you know, one of the actors, Chris Hemsworth, you know, he's kind of the jock. He was learning how to ride a motorcycle. You know, we had some guys doing scuba diving lessons. I honestly went to what they called pot school and just rolled joints all day long, smoked out of different bongs. I have a coffee thermos turned bong contraption in the movie that becomes a very handy weapon as well. And
wait a minute. Prawn. That's a job? You have a job where you just roll joints all day?
I swear to God, man, I spend like 2 to 3 hours every morning smoking different types of fake weed and rolling joints. My hotel room, we shot it in Vancouver, it looked like I was some kind of dealer. I had like a pound of fake pot in there. But it was British Columbia, so nothing ever really happened. You know.
I know you have to say fake pot, but, you know, British Columbia, come on now.
No, they just found me on the street and cast me. They were like, this guy, he looks good.
Hey, last question for you. What does fake pot taste like to smoke? Is it suck?
Yeah, man, it kind of gets you, it kind of makes your stomach a little queasy, you know what I mean? So ultimately, and you got to do it over and over and over again. And so, to be completely honest, sometimes you find yourself just asking for tobacco, you know what I mean? I mean, that's how it can be. But, you know, in a way, the kind of queasy nausea just sort of gets you into the character, you know, it puts you in another state of mind, so to speak. And I, you know, at the end of the day, you just embrace it and enjoy it, you know?
I'm going to have a lot of fake pot out here at Coachella as well.
there's a lot of fake pot out there, yeah.
All right, before we say goodbye to Fran, I want everybody to listen up. We're going to take 30 seconds of your time now. Listen to this and tell me this is not essential viewing for the weekend. Hit it.
Lambs have passed through the gate. They are come to the killing floor.
I seriously believe something weird is going on.
What is that thing?
We have to stay together. This isn't right. We should split up.
Yeah, good idea.
Really?
You're missing the point.
You want to see us punished? I think I can get it to go down. Do we want to go down?
Okay. All right, there you go. Cabin in the Woods is the movie, written by Joss Whedon and written and directed by Drew Goddard. Fran, we're so excited we had you on, man. Congratulations on all your success. We look forward to seeing this one soon, dude.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.
Kevin is at the K-Rock Coachella house right now. Be sure to be listening to K-Rock all weekend long for updates from the desert. And, of course, lots of exclusive performances at K-Rock.com, too, if you're not lucky enough to be out at Coachella this year for weekend number one. Monday, a very special show. It's the return of the Armenian comedian. He has not been on the air in 2 years on our show. We're about to explain why, how the restraining order happened, why he went to jail, what started all the problems as we continue our countdown to Samageddon.
You thought the nightmare was over.
Holy sh!
You thought you were safe.
Hey!
You were wrong.
That's right. I'm getting stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
It's countdown to Samageddon.
Now, technically, the restraining order, the 2-year restraining order ended this week, but we wanted to wait until Lisa May was in the studio. Because she hates
because
Sam
she hates
more
hates
than
him
anybody.
So much. Oh, she hates him.
So he's coming back on Monday, as far as I know, but I understand later on today you guys have an update on how the conversation went yesterday when you called him for the first time in 2 years.
We do, and we can't wait to tell you, but let's catch people up.
All right. So the reason the Armenian comedian, who was a longtime contributor to the program, just a listener who fancies himself some sort of entertainer, we kind of fell in love with him because his level of confidence is at 100. His level of ability is about 2. And that to us was just fascinating. He always was convinced that he was going to be the next big star. So how did he get in trouble? Well, I don't know. Maybe this phone call that we're going to play some pieces of from December 15th of 2009. And I want to thank our friend Kevin from the Kevin Amin Archive for pulling this out for us. We're talking to Sam about, oh, I don't know, his connections to the mob and a bomb that he's planning on killing us all with.
Did you say that you are in the Armenian Mafia and you don't want to anger the Armenian Mafia?
Yes.
You did say that.
I can blow up the whole place. Hey, you guys are lucky that I didn't mention to my connections. They can blow the place up in a second.
All right. Now let's talk about this. Let's break this down for a second.
Set up bombs around your station right now.
Oh, Sam, you don't want to say that. That's the wrong thing. You understand now the FBI has to come visit you. You understand that, right?
The FBI!
What?
I don't care about me.
Okay, so this is us getting the Armenian comedian on the phone because that weekend he had called in and talked to phone ops, guys who worked the phones on the weekend at K-Rock, and said he was going to blow up the building, and they were very concerned about it. So we thought, hey, let's clear this up so that nobody's nervous. So we got Sam on the phone that Monday, and we said, you didn't really say that stuff. And as you can tell, Kevin, he's not backing down from it at all, right?
Yeah, we were like, take it back. We're giving you the chance right now. Just say you didn't mean it, and everything will be fine.
Exactly. So I mentioned in this clip, seriously, if you don't take it back, the police are going to be knocking on your door.
Armenian comedian, when the police show up to see you today, what are you going to say when they ask you if you have plans to blow up the radio station?
I'm going to say, fine, I'm going to go right ahead and do it and arrest me and take me to jail. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay, because I want it noted for the record that I gave you the opportunity to say, no, Bean, I was just hot-headed because of the mix-up and I don't really mean it. But you're sticking with your story that your plan is to intentionally hurt us.
Because you hurt me.
Because we hurt him, Kevin. Because you told him that he could open Acoustic Christmas, and then he never got a call to come down to the Gibson Amphitheater.
He was angry about?
Yes, that's why he was mad, is because you said, yeah, absolutely, you can open the show with your band. All right, so we're talking to Sam again. This is from December of 2009, and here's how imminent the threat is. It's not just that he's going to blow us up. Sam goes on to insist that the explosives are already in place.
You said not only you're going to blow up the station, but you have bombs all around the station already.
Yeah, it's tick-tock, tick-tock.
Right? It's tick-tock, tick-tock. That's the kind of talk that gets the police's attention. And we're not the ones who called the police on Sam, right? They were listening, and they called us and said, yeah, yes, we got to take that seriously. We can't hear something like that on the radio and not act on it, right?
We need that tape. This whole thing that you're listening to was us explaining to him that he has to take it back, and him going even further than he did when he called the first time.
Yes. All we're trying to do is prevent there from being any trouble. Right. All right. Maybe he's coming to his senses a little bit, because the Armenian comedian, who's very angry with us at this point and is threatening to kill us all, he comes up with a last-minute idea on how to make everything work out.
Why don't you do me a favor? Just give me my own breakfast and we all even.
So you're saying if we give you a breakfast, you won't blow up the station. Otherwise, station blown up.
Yeah.
So that's going to solve everything. Breakfast with the Armenian comedian, all of a sudden he forgets about it, right?
Right, right.
All right. Almost at the end of the phone call, one more time, we try to talk him out of it so it doesn't turn ugly.
So we're going to give you one last chance just to say, I was really mad, I was out of my mind, I didn't mean it.
I'm sorry I didn't mean it, but I'm so upset, you know?
And finally, we understand that there's nothing we can do about it. This could be the end of the road for us with Sam, as it turned out to be, because he ended up being arrested, spending the night in jail, not being able to come on for 2 years. Here's our last attempt.
I don't know, Sam. We could be done with you after all these years together. This could be the end of the line, my friend.
Are you sure?
Pretty. Yeah. You know, it's kind of coming down from above, because they don't really like people yelling at our phone ops like that and making those threats.
Uh-huh.
So...
All right. Well, you could be spending your birthday in jail this year.
Oh, can I tell a joke before you go?
No. Come on, Sam.
One last joke before the authorities.
How come Rudolph Reindeer has a red nose? Because he steals Santa's stash.
That's you're a lot of trouble, but you're worth it with the comedy.
And then he doesn't.
All right,
doesn't,
you can't go on now. It's already over.
You can't continue.
By the way, was that the bomb that he was talking about dropping out of a radio station?
So that was the end of the Armenian comedian. Then he did get arrested. He did go to jail. And then there ended up being a 2-year restraining order. That ends this week, Monday. I hope we're going to be talking to Sam live on Kevin and Bean.
We do have an update for you a little bit later this morning, and I believe it will entertain you endlessly, Bean.
You called him yesterday to try to set up the interview, and there may be some complications. Correct. He's not just excited to come on back?
Well, I called him, and he was very excited to hear from me, and then he called back to Dave, the King of Mexico, and everything changed. And okay. I can't wait to tell you about it.
Looking forward to the update. It's a great time to be a sports fan in Southern California. For most teams, maybe Angel fans are hurting a little bit this week. But let's face it, if you love the Kings or the Lakers, the Dodgers, a lot of stuff to be excited about right now. We'll talk to Matt Money Smith about all of it coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Kevin, has there ever been a movie that's been more in your pocket? All in the Poker movie is playing now at the Lemley Theater in Santa Monica and available April 24th as a digital download. You love the real-life poker and the online poker, right?
I do. I love both, and I've played online so much. And then the government said, no, you're not going to play online. And I said, well, what?
All in the Poker Movie. Doug Tirola is the director. Hey, Doug, welcome to the Kevin Amin Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me.
What a fascinating story for you to try to tell, and then the whole world changed for you on Black Friday last year, and it turned into a whole different movie. Tell me about where you were, and then what happened after April 15th, 2011.
Well, the movie was slated to come out last summer. We'd had our first press screening right around this time last year, and then a few days later, we find out about Black Friday. I was literally on my computer, just looking at a poker site, and then boom, these two scary emblems from the government came up, and then I just started trying to call everybody I know that we had interviewed in the movie, and nobody knew what was going on, and people didn't believe it. And you know, for a little bit, we rationalized, well, this is just going to make people more interested in the movie, and then finally made the decision that, you know, we had to wait, and we're going to have to take some time and make this part of the film.
For those of you that don't know what Black Friday is, there were many, many poker sites online that you could play, and you could actually risk money and make money, and the government decided in one day, illegal, they all go down. And my life ended.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, did you have any money stuck on those sites?
I did not at that moment, no.
Yeah. So this was a surprise, even to people who frequented the sites, people even kind of in the business a little bit. There wasn't any kind of a warning. There wasn't red flags that there was an investigation going or threats that it was going to happen. It was just literally the plug got pulled one day, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, I think poker players are inherently hopeful, obviously. And I think the thought was it was going in the other direction, that there was this gray area where the government had sort of in the past said, you know, we're not sure if this is legal or not. There was a thing called the Wire Act of 1961 that prohibited people making sports bets over the phone. And people, the government had kind of said poker might fall under that. So some of the companies in the past had pulled out, some of these online poker companies. But a few had stayed in, and they were very popular. Anybody who had, you know, stayed up late at night might have seen, like, Poker After Dark. One time, poker was on, I think, 9 networks, and there were something like 12 different shows. Poker's on TV every day of the year.
And during the World Series of Poker, they were all sponsored by Full Tilt Poker and all of those different ones. They were sponsoring hundreds of players.
Yeah, I mean, they sponsored, they'd have players. It was sort of like NASCAR. They'd wear their patches on their clothes.
Right.
And they made a lot of money. And you'd even see actors spot, like, they're called, like, Poker Stars Team or Full Team, Full Tilt Team. And you would see actors, writers they had on there. And it was, people wanted to be sponsored by them.
Right. Now, every time the government tries to squash something, and I'm thinking, you know, in particular, say, music file sharing or movie file sharing sites, all that happens is we find a way to access those same things on the internet from non-U.S. sources. Has that not been the case with people who want to play poker?
To some extent, but really the people that are making a living from it, I mean, there are a lot of stories of people moving to Canada, people moving to Europe. Poker's booming in Europe right now the way it was here 3 or 4 years ago. In general, people don't play here now online. You can play, but not for money.
Yeah, you can't make the kind of money. People were literally making a living on these sites.
Wow. Why can't the government just figure out a way to tax it, which is all they seem to really care about? It's usually not a morality issue for them. They just want to get their cut. Isn't there a way that they could do that and still let it thrive as a business?
Well, I think that's what everybody wanted. I mean, we have so many interviews with poker players saying, please tax us. You've never seen so many people on camera saying, please tax us, please regulate us. But they just could not figure it out. Some people, they say, well, it's to, you know, for the children. We don't want, you know, kids going online and playing. And then there are people that think there's maybe more dubious reasons behind it.
We're talking to Doug Tirola. He is the director of this new film called All in the Poker Movie, all about how poker became so popular, especially here in the 21st century, and then Black Friday last year and what the repercussions of that have been. You've got celebrities like Matt Damon and Ira Glass in the movie. You've got poker professionals like Chris Moneymaker and Annie Duke. Why is Kenny Rogers in your movie? Is it because he knows when to hold him and knows when to fold him?
I mean, the gambler, they made 5 Ooh. TV movies out of it. I mean, I think the feeling about part of the movie is really also the history of poker, but we take a more of a pop culture stance on that. And for people that grew up in a certain time period, you know, the image of poker in the sort of 70s, early 80s, is Kenny Rogers on that album cover, and that song was huge, and everybody knows. I mean, we got pretty much everyone we interviewed to ask if they knew the song, and most people broke out into, you know, the chorus.
Sure,
and he's
sure.
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. Hey, let's not forget he dies in the song. I don't want to make it a spoiler alert or anything, but remember that the gambler dies, okay? He does close his eyes and die.
That's why when you see Kenny Rogers today, you go, who is that?
Who is that guy, right? All right. So it's playing today through April 20th at the Lemley Theater in Santa Monica, and it's also available from the website on April the 24th at allinpokermovie.com, so people can download it that way. Do you think, last question for you, Doug, and we appreciate your time coming on, is there any change on the horizon on how this is going to be handled? Or is this the law and it's just going to stay like this till further notice?
I mean, the story of President Obama as a state senator, sort of being the guy all the older state senators picked on, young guy from Harvard, and then him winning them over through joining their weekly poker game, I think gives people a lot of hope that maybe he will eventually somehow help or influence this. I think there's some hope for it.
Every single state has all kinds of financial trouble. They should legalize weed and tax it. They should legalize this gambling and tax it. Boom, we're out of debt. Why do we have all the answers and no one's listening?
That's just it. I think whenever the government gets involved in something like this, it just slows it down a little bit, but it's gonna be legal. There are people playing right now. People in LA love poker. There's a lot of poker in the city.
Absolutely, you're right about that. AllInThePokerMovie.com is the site. Doug Tirola has been our guest. Thanks for the time today, man. Good luck to you.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, Judy. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53, and it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
The microphone, hi. Yeah, microphone should be turned on. Beer mug when I'm trying to talk. That'd be very helpful.
I'm giving mugs a zero for today, by the way.
Wow.
Is there something less than a zero?
He is struggling, isn't he?
He's not good. Before I get started with the showbiz news, tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I doing our Hollywood Babylon show up at the Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater up there at City Walk Universal Studios. Come on up and see us tomorrow night, 10 p.m. You can get your tickets at thelovitz.com. We'd love
it. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Have you come out? Because this is the last one for Kevin for a while. No show next week, and then special guest host Brad Williams the following week.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's going to be a good show.
Maybe you can get him to lap dance for you.
Oh, I can't wait. Have that little body grinding all over me. Great news, everyone. Great news. E! Has announced next month, E! Entertainment Television announces Keeping Up with the Kardashians will become a full hour.
Yeah,
stretching it from 30 minutes now to a full hour.
Wow, they have such exciting lives.
Yeah, 30 minutes just isn't enough to talk about picking out a handbag.
That's crazy.
America needs their Kardashians, Kevin. It's a hunger that nothing,
not
can,
an hour.
That nothing can satisfy.
I wonder how much Seacrest is making just off of producing that show. Gotta be a lot, right?
Whatever it is, he's going to need to pay it back in hell. When he gets there, he's going to have
in hell dollars.
They're going to look at his account and say, oh, you owe us a lot down here in hell dollars, as Kevin did say.
Do they turn the heat down like a degree for every $1 million he has or something? Or?
He owes them in hell dollars.
Hell dollars, right.
All right, I'm not proud of that.
In the tube of history,
you have to pay
in hell dollars if you're the taste of the moment. Here's the great thing about having Barack Obama as president. He's got an informed opinion on Kanye West.
Really?
And Jay-Z did an interview with the Atlantic magazine and asked about which he likes best, Jay-Z or Kanye West. He said Jay-Z. But he said he also likes Kanye. He's a Chicago guy, smart and very talented, but he's a jackass.
He's a jackass.
Barack Obama said.
Sweet.
He's a jackass, but he's very talented.
By the way,
he's a jackass.
What's that true?
They're both true. Yes. He's a jackass and he's talented.
It is. And Jay-Z's talented too.
Sure.
And you know, I love the riders on contracts. I love the specific demands that celebrities make when they're hired to appear or perform in venues. And The Smoking Gun has Mary J. Blige's contract. She's got an interesting set of riders on her contract. She must have red vine licorice.
Love it.
She needs a Vita candles. She needs a love seat in her dressing room, I guess, so she can sit close to whoever it is that she loves at the moment. She needs a basket full of green apples, a whole bunch of local takeout menus, In case she gets the munchies. But my favorite demand, a brand new toilet seat in her private dressing room at every stop on her tour. Before she comes in the dressing room, you have to put a brand spanking new toilet seat on there.
That seems to be a popular writer for the ladies. I think I've heard about that with Mariah and also with Madonna.
That's ridiculous. How much do you need to pamper your ass?
Well, I don't know. It depends on who was in there last.
It's just a toilet seat. Just spray it with a little Clorox or Windex or whatever.
Little paper things, too.
Just
they got
wipe
that.
It down and sit down. Your ass is so special. It needs magical toilet seats. Just sit down with your ass on the seat. Not right. Not right, new toilet seats. Titanic fans may want to skip the 3D version of the film in China. The San Francisco Chronicle announces that China's censors have cut out all the scenes that show off Kate Winslet's boobs.
That is unacceptable.
Not even for the reasons you think. You think maybe China was being prudish or wouldn't want people to see the boobs, but here's their rationale. They believe that people will want to reach out and touch them, and that would interrupt the movie experience of other guests.
They are giving their people very little credit for being smart.
Does anyone really think people believe that the images are really there in front of them coming off the screen?
No.
And if they did, wouldn't they be more concerned about people being terrified of drowning going to see Titanic? That seems like a greater threat.
Ah, we're dying, we're drowning. Oh, look, boobies.
Ah. Room full of Chinese people with their arms up in the air like they just don't care. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Paul Sorvino, 73 years old today. Also dad of talented actress Mira Sorvino. Reverend Al Green is 66 years old. Rock actor Ron Perlman from Sons of Anarchy is 62. Singer Peebo Bryson celebrates his 61st birthday today. Paige Hanna from TV's Fame is 48 years old. Rick Schroeder from NYPD Blue. And, of course, Silver Spoons is 42. Aaron Lewis of Stained, he's 40. And Lou Vega.
A little bit of Monica in my life.
Yeah.
A little bit of Erica by my side.
Mambo number 5. Lou is 37 years old today. And, of course, we'll be performing at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Eve Fiesta. What?
Huh?
I don't know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
You going to see Noel Gallagher? Is he on your list for this weekend at Coachella, Kevin?
He's on my list, but I tend not to get to many of the names on my list.
I see.
I don't know what happens. I have these elaborate plans, and then they all go out the window.
Because you're drinking and end up face down in the mud instead is what happens.
How dare you suggest that?
Kevin is at the Coachella House. Go to KRock.com to follow along all weekend long. Lots of great interviews, including Kat is going to have M83 stopping by later on today. Kasabian on her show as well. First, though, how about Matt Money Smith, former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, now half of the nationally syndicated Petros and Money Show. Hey, Matt, how are you, buddy?
Why did you send Kevin out to that house?
How dare you?
Why would you do what a?
You can't stop him from going to Coachella. Are you kidding me? There's nothing we can do.
Are you sober, Kevin, honestly? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Kevin?
Oh, I heard him.
Hey, Money, we got a lot of stuff, a lot of ground to cover here, yeah. But I can't believe we're going to start with hockey. But seriously, between the overtime games and the comebacks, has this been the most unbelievable first round of Stanley Cup action you can ever remember?
It's always like this. Petros made fun of me the other day. It was the annual Matt Money Smith plea to his listeners to watch the hockey playoffs because
yes.
There's nothing better. They're always like this. Every game is tight because in the playoffs, defense ratchets up, and you know, you're in one-goal affairs in the third period, and dudes are freaking out. You know, you're hanging on for the win, or you're rallying to try to tie and put it into overtime. And this is just the way the NHL playoffs are. It's why it's the best postseason, and I simply cannot recommend people watch it enough. You will be interested in games that have teams that you do not care about.
Although tonight is Kings Vancouver, Game 2.
Yeah, that's huge. And you know, I said this going in. The Kings, even though they're the eight seeds in the NHL, are nothing like baseball or basketball. The eights are a lot closer to the ones because of goalies. If you have a good goalie, you can work your way through the postseason regardless of what your seed is and how your regular season was. And look, the Kings, not to get too technical, but, I mean, they have a Vezina-quality goalie. I mean, Quickie could win the award. Their goalie, Jonathan Quick, could win the award as the best goalie in the NHL this year. He actually should win it. So when you're an eighth seed and you have the best goalie in the NHL, guess what? You can win the Stanley Cup. And
that's what I'm talking about.
That's why it wouldn't surprise me to see them get out of this series.
Well, I felt for you when I saw Chicago come back, tie it up, send it to overtime, and then in an instant it was over. I mean, that's just heartbreaking, but you're right. That's the way it goes, particularly in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You mentioned the NBA. Are we only 2 weeks away from the start of the playoffs?
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, but that's what they did this year. They jammed all these games into, what, 130 days or something like that, and the teams are beat to hell. They're playing 66 games over a time period in which they normally would have played 50, and we're here, you know, and it's why guys are kind of snippy right now. We're resting, and why Dwayne Wade is talking about getting paid to be in the Olympics, because he's coming off playing 5 games in 8 days, and he's had to sit out 2 of them. So it's been an interesting season, but you know, things will start to settle in because the playoff schedule mimics last year's, you know, the standard playoff schedule with regular rest, and you'll start to see teams play a little bit better than they have over this regular season.
Yeah, because they take 3 months to play about 10 games. It's the most relaxed schedule in the world.
Exactly. You play a game, you get 4 days off. You play another game, you get 2 weeks off.
Yeah, it's insane. The Lakers and Clippers, I haven't looked in a while, but they're 1-2 in the division, right? I mean, they're both in pretty good shape heading into the playoffs.
1-2 in the division, 3-4 in the playoff seedings, which is very important because for some reason in the NBA, you want to have home court advantage just for that first round. The other rounds, you're fine. You can win a game on the road, but the first round, you want to try to win the first two at home, get the split on the road, close it out in 5 games, and get your rest. Teams that get extended in the first round typically don't advance and end up struggling through the postseason. So that's why, regardless of how they finish, if it's the Lakers that win the division and stay at 3, or the Clippers and the other team gets the 4, that's where you want to be. It's a bigger deal to the Clippers because they've never won the Pacific Division in their entire existence.
Wow. So, yeah, they've never been close to winning the Pacific Division, by the way.
Yeah, remember, you know, a couple of years, not to get too crazy, but a couple of years ago, I think it was 06, when they had the Elton Brand, and they won the first playoff series of their history against Denver and then lost to Phoenix. They specifically tanked that year in order to slip back. So it's a long story, but yeah, they have never been this good. There's no doubt about that. I mean, they have a chance to advance and really do some damage.
I agree.
All right, Kevin is always mocking me because I put a lot of emphasis on how my team looks in the first week of a season. I know there's a lot of baseball to be playing, but the Dodgers look great in week 1. The Angels seem to be going in the other direction. Does it mean anything?
Well, you know, and people, what are people saying about the Dodgers? Well, they played the Pirates and the Padres, and now they're going to get the Padres again for another 4 games. Another 3 games. Well, guess what? The Angels have played the Royals and the Twins. So
right. If
you're not going to make a big deal about the Dodgers, then you ought to make a real big deal about the Angels not beating teams they should beat. There are some concerns with the Angels that I've had since the season started. One, they're trying to play this guy, Mark Trumbo, at third base. He is a freaking circus out there. He's a first baseman. The third base is a completely different animal. So that's something they have to figure out. I don't like their bullpen. I never have. And that's what's blown games for them, you know. So that there are issues they do have to work out. They're not just going to get handed that weird-looking trophy with all the gold flags.
Right, but they have the 4-year season to work it out.
And they also have Albert Pujols, who you almost can't overestimate how much of a contribution that guy can make.
No, you're absolutely right. Am I worried about them? No, but I think the idea that it was going to be the Phillies and the Angels in the World Series, and we ought to just fast-forward to that, That's a little quick to judgment because there are some flaws on that Angels roster that they'll work through. Now the Dodgers, on the other hand, look, they have the best pitcher in the National League. They have the best hitter, perhaps in baseball, in Matt Kemp. And when you have those two things going, it just lifts the whole team up. You know, everybody else tends to play at a higher level when you're surrounded by that kind of greatness.
And they're happy, too, because of the news, because they know what's about to happen to them. Now, the Magic Johnson organization, they haven't taken over yet or done anything, right?
No, but, you know, you talk to players, and we've talked to quite a few of them, Kershaw and Ethier and Kemp, and they all say the same thing when you ask them. Like, hey, have you met Magic? And you can kind of hear a little lift in their voice. Oh, yeah, I met him. You see him? It was kind of weird. I was in the on-deck circle right behind. So that certainly has a positive effect. When, you know, look, last year when you ask a question about ownership, they'd shut down and kind of close
it. It was depressing.
Up.
It was a depressing topic. It was a downer, yeah.
Right. So I think that does, absolutely. That does have a big impact on this club. But again, this is the time when they should be dominating. They ought to come out of May, or they should head into they should come out of May with the best record in baseball. They really should, looking at their schedule.
Well, it's a great time to be doing Sports Talk Radio with you and P. Are you like Kevin would be, which is knowing that basketball and hockey are going to be ending in, you know, 6 weeks or something like that? Are you terrified of a long drive baseball summer?
That's a tough one. Just because I'm doing so much with NFL Network and stuff now, so it's like the NFL season is 12 months. You know, I've got the draft at the end of this month, and then you'll have mini camps, then you have free agency, a contract. So, you know, for people that really want to look, if they don't want baseball, you can still really kind of get your football going.
Plus, money, and I have soccer, which we don't.
Exactly, my Tottenham Hotspur. You know, they got to pick it up here. They'll pick it up here and close strong. Kevin, don't get drunk. Please don't get arrested again.
Oh, how dare you?
He can't guarantee that.
If I may pass along a little bit of advice from personal experience to everybody heading out to Coachella, go see the DJ set from DJ Shadow. He is the best live DJ in the world. No one mixes records like he does.
Wow, how about that? That's an endorsement. All right. PetrosAndMoney.com is the website. You can follow them on Twitter at Petros and Money, and the show airs every weekday afternoon on AM 570 from 4 to 7. Give our best to the P-Man. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Money.
Don't get arrested, Kevin.
The impression I get from the videos that I'm seeing at KROQ.com that you're already posting from Coachella, Kevin, is that you're basically trying to see the show before the show begins.
Well, Black Keys,
you're hopping over fences. You're trying to crash rehearsals of all the bands. What's going on?
We didn't have the proper credentials, so we had to make do. So we were climbing fences. It happens. Because the Black Keys were sound checking. That was awesome. It was just us. We were just there by ourselves while the Black Keys were sound checking. How good is that?
Well, but aren't you going to see them actually doing a show like this weekend?
Yes, but it's cool both ways. I also wanted to mention that Dr. Dre and Snoop are closing the show on Sunday night. Eminem is also going to come out and join them. Wiz Khalifa is going to join them. Warren G is going to join them. And then they're going to do a hologram. You remember the Luke Skywalker scene where R2-D2 plays Princess Leia, little hologram thing?
Yes. They're going to do that. Tell me Obi-Wan Kenobi, that one, yeah.
They're going to do that for Tupac, and they're going to do that for Nate Dogg. How cool is that?
Going to work?
Well, we were here. We did get some audio from the sound check last night of the Nate Dogg part of it.
The heavy sound of the girls.
That's inappropriate. They couldn't have chosen audio from before he had the stroke. Come on.
Not my choice.
How come we don't play David Lynch when he's doing his lame setup? How come David Lynch doesn't play then?
Because that's too funny. Come on.
Sure.
All right, let's talk about lame superhero villains. Let's do that. We've been talking about Calendar Man and the Calculator and all that all week long.
Real superheroes. How did this come up, Ralph? Real dangerous supervillains.
Why didn't we start talking about Calculator Man and the Calendar Guy?
I think you brought it up. You found out that there was a villain called the Calculator.
Which sounds and is absurd.
Which is awesome.
And you did two things as we brought that up, because your geeky antenna went up. And you said, first of all, the Calculator and Calendar Man are awesome.
Right.
Second of all, they're not even in the bottom 20 of Lane's villains, right?
Absolutely. I mean, they're both much more dangerous and much more villainous than Kite Man. For example.
What does Kite Man do?
What is Kite Man? That sounds even worse.
Kite Man.
Right, we heard.
He's got a kite suit.
Yes.
And he flies away from his crimes on a kite.
Okay.
And he's paired with which superhero? Whose comic book is he in?
Batman. He's Batman.
Oh, he's also Batman. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
First appeared in 1960. And then he throws kites at you, too. He's got kites.
He throws kites at you.
Yes.
How is that worse than the Calculator, though?
Because he's a kite man.
But what does the Calculator do?
The Calculator's able to use his push pad on his chest and actually make constructs, hard light constructs, come out of the helmet that's on his head. And then later went on to become the leader of all information dissemination for villains everywhere via the Undernet.
Plus he can add like a mother effer.
He's a genius, the Calculator. He's a genius. He's like a cyber genius.
The Calculator.
Better than a guy riding a kite. That's what I'm saying.
Listen,
You're not hearing.
I'm not defending either. Those are both
better
names.
Than the Cavalier.
What's the Cavalier?
What's the Cavalier?
Who dresses like a musketeer with a sword and speaks in Shakespearean English.
so nobody can understand.
Dude, lame.
And he just goes around with his sword.
Saying, what happened to Batman? Avast
ye, Volant, I shall striketh thee. And he just swipes at you with his sword. To say, isn't that very dangerous?
No, I agree.
So we're going to be looking for other villains that you would like to add to the list of the lamest villains in comic book history at 1-800-520-1067. The emails are already coming in. You know your people are out there in the garmy, Ralph.
Yes.
Ed writes in, one of the lamest villains of all time was from Spider-Man. He was the Tarantula. Do you remember the Tarantula,
sure,
Ralph?
Sure, of course I remember the Tarantula, yes.
He was a stereotypical South American, macho, big mustache. His only power was he had spikes on his shoes because I think he was a flamenco dancer or something and would stab you with them.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of bad Marvel villains.
But not as bad.
I mean, I think Batman still holds the record for worst villains because the Tarantula I still think is better than Polka Dot Man.
There's no Polka Dot Man.
There's Polka Dot Man.
That's not real.
Polka Dot Man.
What?
He would use the dots on his costume to attack Batman and Robin.
How?
By throwing them on them and
stuff.
That's
so stupid.
What were they made of?
Different things.
Cloth.
Some were metal. Some would open up a hole in time-space continuum.
Frequent contributor to the Kevin Bean Show, Hector writes in, I heard there was a superhero named Beef Eater. Who was he and what are his powers? Now, was he a superhero? Was he a villain or do you not know about
him?
I'm
not familiar with the Beef Eater.
The Beef Eater.
He's the gay villain.
Sounds to me like he just eats beef, is what it sounds like.
Sounds to me like
to
me. He stands guard outside Buckingham Palace, is what it
yeah,
sounds
that's
like.
That's what
he
I
does.
Thought, too. So.
How about Egg Foo? Egg Foo is the worst. The giant communist egg that used to battle Wonder Woman.
What?
Egg Foo. A giant communist egg with a giant mustache.
Okay. For starters.
And the mustache could wrap around you and capture you.
How is an egg?
And it
egg,
was an egg.
How is an egg a communist egg?
Because he's Egg Foo. He came from communist China.
How does an egg grow a mustache?
I'm not even going to qualify your questions with answers.
I have questions about Egg Foo.
And all you have to do is drop Egg Foo, right? And he's gone. He's dead, right?
No,
he's an egg.
His shell was very hard.
You understand the absurdity of this when it comes out of your mouth, right, Ralph?
I don't think you get it. That's the problem.
Oh, we get it.
I don't think you understand the fear that is struck into someone by Ten-Eyed Man.
What
guy
power does Ten-Eyed Man have?
All of his fingertips are eyes, and he can see things with them.
But he's blind.
His eyes are blind, but he's got his optic nerves reconnected to his fingertips so he can hold out his hands and see you.
But can anyone see you?
He's Ten-Eyed Man.
But he can just see you really well. How is that dangerous to me?
But he is Ten-Eyed Man.
But couldn't he see you with two fingers? If he had two fingers, he could see you.
But he can see behind you. You can like put your hand behind you and over your head and everything, and you can see in 10 different directions at the same time.
Okay, he can see
me. Makes you a superb fighter and marksman.
But... Okay. But Batman could kick his ass in a second, right?
No, Batman had a hard time with Ten-Eyed Man.
Oh, Ralph.
Yeah. I think he had to ask him to catch something or something in order to take him down. He's like, here, catch this. And he caught it with his hand, and boom. And Batman took him.
All right. Fellow geeks, we need you to call.
Yes, we do. 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number. You got, it sounds like it's a pretty stiff competition here for great villains of all time.
I don't know. I haven't even brought up Signal Man yet.
Okay. We're going to have to wait on Signal Man. We'll take your calls next right here on the Kevin Amin Show. Talking about, for some reason, lame comic book villains today, and I don't know why it is, Ralph, but it seems like the vast majority of them are associated with your favorite Batman. Why is that?
I don't know. But he has a lot of bad villains.
Did they not have quality control on the Batman process?
But like in the 50s and 60s when they were cranking these comic books out for kids, they just didn't even think about it. They said, oh, let's have a guy, I saw a quilt on my couch, so let's call him Crazy Quilt. He's a quilt.
That doesn't exist.
Oh, Crazy Quilt. Sure, yeah. He's a master thief who loses his sight due to a gunshot. And so he has an operation that lets him see, but he can only see in blinding colors. And that drives him insane. So he puts on a colorful quilt costume and he shoots colored light beams out of his helmet.
That does not exist.
That's Crazy Quilt.
Is that worse than Ten-Eyed Man or Tarantula Man or Polka Dot
Man? I think that's
Man.
Worse. I think it's worse. It's like the ventriloquist. I think that's a bad villain.
We are going to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 in a moment. Mark writes in, is this true that there was a villain in the Batman series known as Bookworm? He can read really fast, and that's it.
Well, that was on the TV show. On the TV show, Roddy McDowell played Bookworm. Yeah, he wasn't so much in the comic books.
But that's all he could do is read fast?
No, he knew he liked everything. He was a genius. He had the entire encyclopedic knowledge of the world in his head. He was a voracious reader, and he had total recall. So he would plan his criminals around
recall.
He would plan his crimes around famous works of fiction.
Let's talk to Angel or Angel.
Ask not for who the bell tolls. It tolls for thee.
On line four to get us going with the telephone calls. We're looking for lame superhero villains. Angel, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Yeah, good. I have the Pink Flamingo. He's a Batman villain, and he's up in like a pink matador outfit. And I think most of his items are a pink flamingo color.
Huh. I'm not familiar with the Pink Flamingo. Where did he show up?
He was in the most recent kind of Batman detective comics when Batman got lost in time.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
And that sounds lame.
I believe he's also a, I think he eats people. He has some fetish for human flesh. I don't know. He's a very flamboyant assassin.
Yes. Now it's coming back to me. When Dick Grayson was Batman, he fought him,
yes.
Right? Yeah, yes. Okay, now I remember, yeah.
Thank you for the call. I think we're going to ask how Dick Grayson became Batman. Let's go to Oscar. He's on line seven. He's going to move us into the world of The Flash.
Oh, The Flash has got some winners.
Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Who's your bad villain?
Hello?
Oscar. Yes, speak to us.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, I would have to say Batman does have some bad ones, but The Flash is the king of the castle here.
He's got some bad ones.
Oh, dude. Captain Boomerang.
But Captain Boomerang can hit you with a boomerang. That would hurt.
And then it would go back to him.
All you have to do is just move out of the way, let the boomerang come back and smack himself in the face.
No, some of them are very fast.
When he's ridden on the boomerang?
Sure, the giant boomerang. Yeah.
Looking like a gay Crocodile Hunter version of the Silver Surfer on top of a boomerang flying around, shooting boomerangs out of his little gun.
Thank you for the call.
How do you have a gun for a boomerang?
He's got a boomerang gun. He's got all kinds of boomerangs. He's Captain Boomerang.
You throw a boomerang.
And you also have a gun that shoots boomerangs.
It's only acceptable to throw a boomerang.
Captain Boomerang. Digger Harkness is his name.
Let's go to line five. He's got another terrible villain for us on the Kevin Bean Show. Steve, welcome.
Steve? Who's your bad villain?
Good talking to you, Steve.
Steve's gone.
Enjoyed speaking with you. He wanted to call from, I guess, one of Ant-Man's villains was the Living Eraser.
Oh, that
Ralph.
Sounds bad. I'm not familiar with him, but that sounds bad.
The Living Eraser.
Not as bad as the Killer Moth.
What's the Killer Moth up to?
Killer Moth.
Moths don't kill.
He has a incapacitating cocoon gun. He squirts you with stuff, and it wraps around you, and then it's sticky.
But nobody has. He shoots you with sticky stuff. Moth.
He's sticky. I'm just
saying.
He's sticky.
I'm sticky. That doesn't make me a super villain.
David emailed in, speaking of terrible supervillains, don't forget about the Daredevil's villain, the Owl, a guy that dresses like an owl.
Yeah,
doesn't sound very intimidating either. All right. Why don't we try, let's go with Brian. Brian's on line four, 1-800-520-1067. Thank you for calling. Brian, who's your supervillain?
The Gray Man.
Gray Man, yes. The big furry guy.
No. He was from the Justice League. He was all dressed in gray, and he just stole people's souls.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking of the Shaggy Man. I'm sorry. My bad.
Shaggy Man.
Yeah, thanks, the gray people stole souls. I forgot about that. Yeah,
okay, so at least the gray man can steal souls.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad thing.
That's a pretty good power.
Yeah, it's not Clue Master.
What's Clue Master?
Clue Master would leave clues to his crimes.
Really?
Yeah, but he had, like, glass capsules attached to his costume. He had, like, smoke bombs and flares and stuff.
Let's go to Josh. Josh is going to talk about The Tick. Josh, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. Who's your supervillain of The Tick?
Chairface Chippendale.
Huh? Chairface Chippendale is a supervillain?
Yeah.
Yeah, but The Tick was a comedy series. They were supposed to be outlandish and ridiculous.
But the guy had a freaking chair for a face.
I know. I remember. Yeah.
That's an excellent point, Josh. Thank you.
The vote for that one.
Another hero that fought alongside The Tick was Batman Well, who was like a Spanish Batman.
Oh, nice. No way.
So it was supposed to be a comedy.
Love it.
How about line three? Line three is Dom. Now, we haven't somehow Superman has escaped the conversation.
He's got a lot of bad ones.
Today, but I mean, he's been around
for years. He's got Terra Man. Terra Man is a cowboy who drives a Pegasus. He flies on a Pegasus. He's a cowboy on a winged horse. He's Terra Man.
Dom, who else is fighting Superman that maybe isn't up to getting the job done? Why can no one hear me? Why am I not allowed to talk to people on the phone? Seriously.
It's not my fault.
I blame Beer Mug.
It's really not my fault. I have
Dom.
There he is.
Dom.
Traffic. Hollywood traffic. Yeah, I got one for you. Her name is Magpie. She steals gems that are named after birds and replaces them with booby traps.
Magpie.
Wait, oh
my
God.
Steals gems that are named after birds.
Like the sparrow diamond.
Right, but if it's not named after if it's not named after a bird, she leaves it alone?
She sure does.
Well, all these supervillains have themes, so her theme, I guess, is birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, let's do one more. We'll end up where we started with Batman. This is going to be George. He's on line 5 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Maybe someone else should say hello to him.
George. George,
yes?
Tell us about your bad villain.
The Clock King.
Oh, I love you Clock King.
What's the Clock King? He just tells time?
The Clock King was a villain in the Batman and in the Batman series in the 90s, and he didn't have any powers. His crimes would just always be in perfect time.
Yes.
What does that mean?
They were planned down to the second.
Yes.
That's all?
Nothing was at risk. Everything was just perfectly planned. He was the Clock King.
And how do we even know what that is?
Great timing.
He was played by Flava Flav?
No.
Or
he should have been.
Good timing.
He had clock glasses.
Clock glasses. Sure he did. Yeah. He's the Clock King.
He didn't have clock glasses.
He had clock
well.
Glasses.
Come All on. Right.
Listen, if anyone's listening, and I'm sure there are a lot of people in Southern California working in the comic book industry, just stop it.
No.
All right? Just stop it.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But is it too long to be listening at 5 o'clock this afternoon, be caller 106.7, and win a pair of 3-day passes? Is it too long from now for that to happen?
I don't understand the question, but I don't think so.
That was a moment with Bean.
Good times.
That's a good question.
Kevin is at the K-Rock Coachella house. Hey, have any of the listeners started arriving yet that we gave away access along with the passes?
Well, I don't think so. I don't think they're here yet.
No one can find a house unless you're part of us. Then you go bring the house on farm.
Look at how great Kevin sounds today on Friday of Coachella compared to what he's going to sound like Monday, Ralph.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
How dare you all.
I can't wait. Anyway, K-Rock Coachella House, follow along all weekend long on the radio and also at K-Rock.com. Lots of interviews. Kat has M83 stopping by today and Kasabian. And then this afternoon, I think Stryker's going to be talking to Arctic Monkeys, Band of Skulls. Black Keys are stopping by. A lot of good stuff. All the details at K-Rock.com. Coachella weekend number one is here. Ralph joins us now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Frances Bean Cobain believes her mother, Courtney Love, should be banned from Twitter, and I think that might be an excellent idea. She is doing another Twitter rant, this time Courtney Love claiming that Dave Grohl hit on her teenage daughter, Frances Bean. This has not gone ignored by Frances, usually it does, but here was her statement. While I'm generally silent on the affairs of my biological mother, her recent tirade has taken a gross turn. I have never been approached by Dave Grohl in a more than platonic way. I'm in a monogamous relationship and very happy. Twitter should ban my mother, she added. Didn't stop Courtney from continuing on, saying regarding the alleged, come on, I'm not mad at Francis. Him I'm about to shoot dead, she said about Dave Grohl. Sadly, even Dave had to comment on this ridiculous accusation. Unfortunately, Courtney is on another hateful Twitter rant. These new accusations are upsetting, offensive, and absolutely untrue.
She has changed her Twitter name like 20 times, Ralph. She'll be on Twitter for a while. She'll just blast everything, and then she'll pull the plug, delete that account, and then a couple weeks later she'll start up a new one. And she just says crazy stuff.
Yeah, she's C Baby Michelle now on Twitter.
She's at the current one?
She's lost it.
She's one of the most recent
ones.
Said, Grohl had his hands all over my daughter. He's obsessed.
By the way, that's actionable.
With Kurt's family, she said in her rant. It is actionable, and
Dave Grohl would never sue her, but he should.
Yes.
He should, yeah. And she's completely estranged from the daughter, right?
Yeah. Frances, when she was 17, went to the courts and asked to be removed from her mother's care and then moved in with her paternal grandmother. So, yeah, good times. The good times
what's,
there.
What's wrong with that woman?
Nothing that just a blow dart wouldn't solve. Just right in the back of the neck, just let her sleep for a while.
I mean, is she
a little bitch?
If she's not, I mean, I'm not suggesting she's on drugs. I'm not saying that all. But is there has damage been done where there is something mentally wrong with her now? Like she's a psycho?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the needle, man, and the damage done. It's all
nice.
That.
Nice.
Thank you so much. Only Bean got that one. I don't have to put it in the file. E! Entertainment is announcing that Keeping Up with the Kardashians is going to be expanded to a full hour starting next month.
I don't want it.
More Kardashians. Twice as much Kardashian for your bang right there, people.
I don't like it.
You get to see Khloe complain You get to see Kim cry. You get to see Chris demand more from them. It's going to be great.
That show is 27 minutes out of 30 is filler already.
Yes, it is. Nothing. Things rarely happen on that program.
Unbelievable.
I don't say nothing, but rarely does anything happen on that show. I suggest the second half hour just be them in a cage with a wild animal, some sort of wild animal. I want to see Chloe battle like a puma. I want to see Kim in there with a crazed wildebeest or something. Just put them in a cage with a wild animal and see who comes out. That would be entertainment.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes.
I believe Chloe would come out.
Yes.
She'd win.
Of every situation. With
You don't think I feel bad?
No, you don't feel bad. You don't feel anything. Enough. You're dead inside, porn star Kim Kardashian.
You wouldn't be expanding to an hour if you did.
That's right. If you felt bad, you would have some pity on us. Some mercy. And Michael Lowen, Lindsay's dad, he's in trouble with the cops again. His girlfriend, Kate Major, she called the police in Delray Beach, Florida yesterday, claiming that he violated the restraining order she has against him. Michael Lowen says, no, she called me. She asked me to come over. Says she needed a loan. Yeah. I hope this doesn't go to court, because the judge is going to say, you don't have any money. Why would she call you for a loan?
Right.
You're offering to talk to people on the phone for $20 a minute. You are broke. And lastly, on our little parade of lunatics here, Britney Spears and Kevin Federline's kids, Sean and Jaden, who are now 6 and 5 respectively, are holy terrors, according to friends and people close to the family. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, that's
obviously
all the discipline and structure in that household. I would think they'd be well-adjusted little gentlemen.
Could have predicted this from day one.
Sean and Jaden like to get into her makeup case, apparently, and rub and smear it all over the walls of the home they live in. Friends say they figured out how to work her childproof lighter. Jaden was sitting after having lit up a cigarette, was dangling from his mouth, and both of them had tried to start a fire in the house on one occasion or another. And the little guys also pretend to be drunk, like Dad.
So they I don't think they're pretending.
They do a drunk impression of Dad. So
why, Brittany? Why?
Why indeed, Brittany? Those kids.
Wow. They don't have a chance.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ron Perlman. You know him from Beauty and the Beast. He was Hellboy in the movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And also Sons of Anarchy, 62 years old today. Paul Sorvino, very talented actor, is 73. Al Green, legendary R&B singer, is 66. One of my favorite character actors, William Sadler from Wonderfalls and Roswell, done a bunch of movies as well. He's 62. Paige Hanna from Fame on TV. She's 48 years old. Rick Schroeder from NYPD Blue and Silver Spoons, 42 years old. Aaron Lewis of Stained is 40. And Lou Bega. A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of. Who's responsible for this song? A little bit of Rita. Yeah, you say now it stinks, but you're going to remember it all day long.
F you for this.
He's 37. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Ahead of the final showbiz report from Ralph Garman in a couple of minutes here as we wrap up a Kevin Bean show. First, though, one more update on the countdown to Samageddon.
You thought the nightmare was over.
Holy sh!
You thought you were safe.
Hey!
You were wrong.
That's right.
I'm getting stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I'm stoned.
It's countdown to Samageddon.
All right, Bean, if you would please recap as quickly as you can what happened with Sam and where we are.
Basically, 2 years have gone by since the last time we were legally allowed to talk to Sam the Armenian Comedian. He had been a frequent guest as a listener for about 15 years on the program, but then he ran out of patience with us and threatened to blow up the radio station. So
sure, there's that.
They came and they arrested him and they put him in jail, and then they said, you can't contact K-Rock for 2 years. Well, that 2 years expires this week. We have been doing nothing but getting more and more excited as the date is drawn closer, because he's supposed to join us in studio Monday morning so we can catch up with what he's been up to.
So after the show yesterday, I called him, and he was very excited to hear from me. He was playing backgammon, by the way.
Sure.
And he was very excited. He even said he loved me.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic. That's sweet. So glad there's no hard feelings after what happened.
Okay, so cut to what happened, Dave?
Well, Sam sent Lightning an email saying how excited he was to be back on the show.
Right.
But he needed to talk to us first. So I gave him a call. And I spoke with him, and first of all, he can't come in Monday because he has a doctor's appointment. So I go, fine, come in Tuesday.
They're removing his head from his ass?
Who knows? So I go, fine, come in Tuesday. You know, we're going to have a great time. It's great to have you back. And he says, well, you're going to have to do some things before I come back.
Wait.
And he gave me some demands.
Hold on. We're going to have to do that. Oh, yeah, because I thought we'd be doing him an enormous favor that we still even remember him and want him back on the air.
If we want Sam back on the air, it's on us to do some things.
He's I have some demands.
And demands.
Not requests.
Because he's the Armenian comedian.
Like a terrorist, he's giving us a list of demands.
Or what? He's going to blow up the radio station again?
Did he do this via video in a cave? With like one of our interns with a sword to his throat?
So the first demand is that we must call his wife and apologize.
Tell her that we're sorry that she married him?
That we have to call his wife and say we're sorry
for
Sam ending up in jail.
And we had nothing to do with him ending up in jail.
And Dave said they had nothing to do with him ending up in jail. And he said, you have to apologize to my wife.
Yes.
Okay, now let me just add for the listeners who weren't with us earlier, when we played back the conversation with Sam after he had phoned the bomb threat into the radio station, we said, Sam, just take it back because the police are going to hear this and they're going to want to get involved and there's nothing we can do about it. It's out of our hands. We never pressed charges. We never did anything other than let the story play out on its own the way the police wanted to handle it.
So they took him to jail and she let him stay in jail overnight because she wanted to teach him a lesson. Okay, so demand number one, we have to call his wife and apologize before Sam can come in.
Apologize for something we didn't do.
What does he think we did? What does he think our part was in him going to jail?
Well, it was our fault that he went to jail, and his family is upset that he had to go do community service.
But what was our part in it, Dave?
I don't know.
We have to apologize, Bean.
Yeah. Okay.
And he thinks we called the cops. And I explained to him, I was like, no, they heard you and went straight to your
house. They were listening to the show, and they came down, and they said, we need that tape. We need to find that person. That sounds like a serious threat.
All right.
So that's part one.
Demand number two. We need to have a breakfast with Sam, the Armenian comedian, and raise $10,000 to pay him back for his legal fees.
What?
Wife and apologize, then we have to have a breakfast with Sam, which is actually a fundraiser for $10,000. Ralph, okay. It looks like your dream is coming true.
Yes, it does. Thank God Sam has once again just shot himself in the foot and will keep this show Sam-free for a longer period of time.
$10,000 being 10 grand.
Now, Sam loves us and wants to come on, but his family is very upset with him and will not allow him to come back on our show unless these demands are met.
I thought Manny Pacquiao paid for his legal fine.
Yeah, that's right, Ralph. That's what I heard.
He
did tell us that.
That is what he told us.
Manny Pacquiao is favorite of my comedian and will pay for all legal expenses.
All right, let me ask you this, Dave, since you talked to Sam. And on Monday, where we were going to talk to the Armenian community, the triumphant return of Sam, can we talk to his wife on the air? And can we, person to person, explain to her what's going on here, what the reality is of the situation, and see if she wants to try to change his mind or not?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked to her on Monday. We have to convince her that it wasn't our fault he went to jail.
Yes.
Which it wasn't, by the way. This isn't us lying. We gave him every opportunity to avoid this.
We have to convince her that it wasn't our fault that he went to jail. And we have to convince her that we're not going to raise $10,000 and that he's lucky that we're taking him back.
I think that's accurate, yes.
It's a tall order.
Let's do it.
That's going to be difficult.
Do you think his wife is happier with him not being involved in the Kevin Bean show at all?
I think she does not want him involved.
Yeah,
I think she's the one making the demands. I think she doesn't want him to have anything to do with us.
I'm all excited, brother.
Well, I'd love to speak with Mrs.
I think she knows that his involvement on the show only furthers his delusion that he has a career in show business and makes him difficult to live with at home.
I would like to suggest on Monday that we get Sam on the phone and we get his wife on the phone. So that way we can go back and forth if we need to. What do you think?
I'm down.
Will he be on the phone without a $10 million cashier's check that we're supposed to have brought over by one of the pussycat dolls or whatever it is he's asking for?
I don't know. We'll try and work it out, but on Monday...
If I'm going to spend $10,000 on Sam, it's going to be to disappear him. It's not going to be to have him back on the show.
There's no $10,000 being raised. That's a promise.
$10,000.
Dave, you got your work cut out for you on this one. I'm fine to just talk to Mrs. Comedian because she's the only one that makes any goddamn sense. But if Sam needs to be on the phone, I guess we can. But I'm fine to just talk to her, honestly.
All right, let's get Metal Woman on the phone.
So all of you listeners that were threatening to quit listening to the Kevin and Bean show, you're good.
There's a reprieve.
Maybe I'm not that funny, but I'm funny.
Oh, God damn it.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
So glad it's Friday.
What's wrong
with
you? I walk into the room, and I have to hear Bean and Dave have a conversation about yoga and coconut water. That's what's wrong with me.
That is Linkin Park here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Quick reminder, brand new music from that band called Burn It Down. World premiere of a brand new Linkin Park song is going to be first thing Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll be talking to Mike Shinoda, find out what the details are on the album and the tour from the band. Very excited. Love those guys. Ralph is here now. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat for the week. What's going on?
The coconut water comes from the premature coconut.
I said it was from baby coconuts. That's where the coconut water comes from. It's different from the coconut milk that you drink out of the mature coconuts.
Bean is the deepest well in the world of horrible conversation.
He really is. He's a tornado of conversation. You see it coming from the distance, and you try to board up your house, and you drill in plywood to front of the doors, and you go to the cellar, and you go in the right corner of it, and they just tears your house right off the foundation. It doesn't care.
Yeah, it doesn't help.
Just kills you.
Well, kills I need you to call my wife and apologize for these things that you're saying, and then help me raise some money for my legal defense.
I need $10,000!
How perfectly Sam is that?
It's the most Sam thing he's ever done.
Yep. He hasn't learned a thing in the 2 years he's been gone.
Love it.
I think we need to keep him gone. That's what I'm saying.
Well, let's see what Mrs. Sam says.
I'm sure she agrees. She doesn't want her son.
Her husband
making an ass of himself on this show on a regular basis. I'm sure. It's bad enough she has to be married to him. But then to listen to him be who he is on the radio? Come on.
Guys, let's all pause for a moment and imagine that she has sex with him.
Oh.
Had.
That happens.
I don't know that it happens
anymore. It did happen. They have kids, so it must have happened a couple times.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I hate to follow up with that bad news with more bad news, but it looks like E! Has announced that Keeping Up with the Kardashians, their popular reality series featuring that family of succubuses, is going to become a full hour in length.
Yes. No!
Yes.
It was 30 minutes long, and now it's going to be an hour.
No!
Twice the Kardashians for your entertainment dollar right there. They decided to add more Khloe, and they need another 30 minutes to hold her voluminous weight, they said. So I had no idea she took up time as well as space, but apparently she does.
She does both.
Matt Groening, creator of The Simpsons, has changed his mind. He's taking back what he said about Springfield. Everyone was very excited after 500 episodes and over 20 years on the air, where he announced that the Simpsons lived in Springfield, Oregon. Everyone was always wondering which Springfield they lived in. Mm-hmm. But now he takes it back. He says, I never said Springfield was Oregon. I said Springfield was the name of my sled, he said, in an obvious reference to Citizen Kane.
Too much information and man.
So I guess he wants the mystery to continue, but he's given it, now he's taking it away.
You can't say the mystery is going to continue after he already said where it was.
But now he's taking it back. He's saying that's not true.
You can't take it back.
Takes it back. Take it backsies.
No take backsies.
No take backsies. Justin Bieber's jealous of James Franco. Why, Justin? Why? Just because he's attractive and talented?
Well, there's those two things.
His girlfriend, Selena Gomez, is doing a movie with James Franco called Spring Breakers. Have you seen the footage from this set, by the way?
No.
James Franco plays a white rapper, apparently. And he's got a big grill, and his hair's in cornrows. And he's got all these medallions on, and he's got tats everywhere. According to news from the set, Selena and all of her girlfriends have mad crushes on James Franco, and Bieber's feeling insecure, so he's hanging around the set a lot.
What a douchebag.
He's a douchebag, yes. He's a Canadian douchebag. By the way, it's a new Broadway play.
Is that right? Be on, yeah.
CBS has announced a new reality show called Dogs in the City.
which will feature a dog guru named Justin Silver training dogs and their owners in the New York City.
That's a April Fool's joke, right?
A newly divorced couple, for example, have a dog, and he's having trouble adjusting to the new lifestyle of living in two homes. Well, the dog guru will come in and solve that problem on CBS's TV series Dogs in the City.
Are there any dogs up in this house?
There are, and they're in the city, and that will be a show, and that will be on television.
That's not a show.
It is.
B, that's not a show.
Come on, America, please.
What about the dogs? What about the dogs?
We are in a tailspin. Just someone needs to pull up on the yoke. Isn't there anyone at the wheel? Is no one in the cockpit?
Is it a horse?
What?
Is it a wheel or is it a horse?
What? Why are we in a horse? I said we're in a tailspin.
I don't know. I didn't understand what you said.
You pull up on a yoke. The yoke is what they call the big stick that controls the airplane, Kevin.
Oh, is it an airplane or is it a car?
Is it a horse?
I'm looking at horses. I'm sorry.
Let's all just cut our losses right now and go to celebrity birthdays.
I'm good with
that.
What do you say? I'm good with that.
Paul Sorvino, 73 years old today. The musician Al Green, the Reverend of R&B, is 66 years old today. Is he a real Reverend, Bean? You know, he's a real Reverend,
sure is.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he still preaches every Sunday in his church in Memphis.
Oh, that's awesome. Ron Perlman, very talented actor who was Hellboy in the movies, The Beast, and Beauty and the Beast on television, now can be seen. And the Sons of Anarchy, 62 years old. William Sadler, great character actor from Wonder Falls and Roswell. And I got a bunch of emails reminding me a lot of people may remember him as the Grim Reaper in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That's William Sadler.
Oh.
He's 62 years old. Max Weinberg of the E Street Band with Bruce Springsteen, also from Late Night with Conan O'Brien, is 61 years old. Rick Schroeder, used to be known as Ricky back in his Silver Spoon days. Now he's Rick Schroeder, was NYPD Blue for many seasons, 42 years old. Aaron Lewis of Stained is 40. And Lou Bega, we've been celebrating Lou's work all morning long, playing all of the hits of Lou Bega as he celebrates his 37th birthday. He, of course, did Mambo No. 5. You have a little taste of that there?
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Eric.
Oh, yeah. Let's all dance our way out of the studio. Because we're done. It's Friday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's play that other song. Yes.
Yes, let's plow the song. I was looking at horses.
Kevin,
it's not
it's
my fault.
Started drinking.
Don't bogart that joint.
Is it a horse or is it a car?
Pass it over to me.
So much beef.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Who hurt you?
Roll a
Oh, you're crazy, bitch. I didn't say that, bitch.
Just like the other one.
This isn't funny.
This one seems to be about to quit.
This is not my kind of comedy.
I need another hit.
Let me tell you guys something. I'm a drummer. Okay.
Yeah.
I love beats.
Oh, love beats.
I'm not good at producing beats, but let me tell you, I can get behind a kit and play the drums. If you guys ever need a drummer,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Roll another one.
Are you sexually attracted to young boys, to underage boys?
Just like the other one.
I like a lot of things.
This one seems to be about cement.
No bueno.
I don't have another cent.
Yeah, that's funny. If those teeth were in your vagina, you'd be considered a monster.
No use, mother. It's too thick.
Let's pass it around.
Pulling a big black man.
I can't wait to see your penis.
Let's pass it on down.
Pass it on down.
We all gave it our best shot to make this thing work. It just didn't happen, all right?
All right. Well, thanks, guys. I think we've all seen enough.
I used to be legit. In fact, I was too legit. I was too legit to quit. But now, I'm not legit. I'm unlegit. And for that reason, I must quit.
What's my cue? You know what? It doesn't matter. I don't know my lines.
Cut! Okay, so you're free to go. But we're cool, right?